back to taking stock with Tim Fox. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. You'll find a player for sure downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
All right, she's an expert in downtown. Let's find out what's going on in the world of commercial real estate. We have Marissa Manley, the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Marissa, welcome to Bloomberg.
Tim, good afternoon, and thank you.
A pleasure. Talk about what's going on in terms of leasing activity in New York City. What's the first quarter results?
Sure. Well, that's an interesting question, Tim, because there's been a lot of talk about increased leasing activity, up about 85% since this time last year. And the question is, does activity mean progress? I think we have to look a little closer, because what we see, negative 2.1 million square feet of absorption, so 2 million square feet came back onto the market, the vacancy rate is up again, and rents are down again. So while there's activity, we see that there is still a significant amount of supply exceeding the demand for tenants. That 2 million square feet of space that came onto the market, Tim, equates to about 10,000 jobs.
So we've got a lot of activity in the market. In other words, the marketplace is working, but
right,
it's just working at a lower price.
It's working at a lower price, and it's working with tenants saying, I don't need this much space, or I don't have the jobs to fill this space. And what we see, Tim, if we look at the big deals that are being talked about, for instance, there was a financial services firm reported at leasing 112,000 square feet. Well, indeed, they did for a new headquarters, but about 80,000 of that was sublet space. So what does that mean? That means short-term, that means lower capital costs, it means lower rent. So when you see a large financial services firm opting to take sublease space as its headquarters location, we know we're in a very different market than we were a few years ago.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Marissa Manley, the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. We'll get more details on whether landlords are more flexible when negotiating with tenants, and also if tenants aren't leasing as much space now, are they getting really better deals? This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Pim Fox. We're checking in on the health of the commercial real estate market with Marissa Manley, president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Marissa, are landlords more flexible now?
Tim, I would say that landlords are more flexible now compared to about a year ago. Let's say that there's a calmer, more deliberate atmosphere right now. I think people are seeing that the sky hasn't fallen in. Landlords who can't, meaning landlords who have a relatively low vacancy rate in their portfolio or in a building, are taking a closer look at tenants and less eager to make those concessions. But for tenants who can shop, for tenants who use a process to evaluate their options, the concessions available are substantially better than before the run-up. And I think, Pim, one factor that remains a disciplining factor is the availability rate. What's the availability rate? Remember, that space that may not be on the market yet, but it's probably coming to market in the next 12 months. And that availability rate, Pim, is now about 14%. So we've got a vacancy of about 7%, 7 or 8. We've got an availability rate of 14%. So that says vacancies may continue to go up before they go down.
That sounds like a huge overhang, particularly as it would relate to price.
That is correct. And that's why, again, I think there's a calmer atmosphere. I think that landlords are less eager to rush in, but there's a disciplining factor there that says we may not have hit the bottom yet.
When you look at the actual demands on the part of tenants, are you seeing that they're getting these better deals, or are they having to just wait until something happens in the marketplace?
No, Pim, I definitely think this is a time in the market where tenants can be strategic and can go forward with proposals, whether it's that tenant who has 2 or 3 years left on their lease and they want to talk strategically about an early renewal or even a disposition because some landlords are cash hungry. Tenants who may be saying, you know what, I don't really want to sign up for a long-term lease. Let's do a couple of short-term options. So tenants can be very strategic right now, Pim.
Is there a seasonality to the commercial real estate market, particularly in New York?
You know, Pim, I think the answer is yes, but it's incidental in the sense that sometimes people psychologically want to get transactions done at the end of the year. During the summer, things may tend to slow down as people go away. But factually, as we look at when leases expire and other business factors which drive the market, there's no inherent seasonality.
Are you seeing any weakness in the actual finances of the landlords?
Well, that continues to be the big wild card, Pim. The default rate or the trouble. troubled rate for CMBSs continues to go up, higher than it's ever been. Commercial office buildings tend to be on the low side still, but climbing. You look at major properties like 666 Fifth Avenue that went to special servicing, Silverstein's building on Lexington Avenue. We see that one of the Tishman entities, and this is in Chicago, but it's an indicative of the quality of the market, has liens filed against it for non-payment. So landlords' financial stability, indeed.
Sounds like there are problems in just about every market.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And that remains a wild card, because what's been happening so far, Pim, is that lenders have been doing workouts. They haven't been so easy to pull the trigger.
Why is that?
Well, you know, if you're a bank, do you really want somebody to give you the keys back? Or do you want to work
with? You probably already have a drawer full of keys.
You probably have a drawer full of keys, and you're not an expert in this market. So your hope is if you can ride it out, if you can find a way to make a little compromise, maybe there'll be a solution that gives you more pennies on the dollar.
Now, you mentioned Chicago. There must be some other regional differences that we need to take note of. For example, Washington, D.C., and government office space.
Sure, and that has tended to remain strong because we've seen growth there, but we have also seen people buying at the top of the market there, Tim, where there's trouble. And then we can look at a number of the markets that were high flyers, some of the West Coast markets, whether it's San Francisco, the Bay Area, whether it's Southeast, particularly Florida, where the vacancy rates now are above 20%.
What about the new healthcare legislation? I know you want to talk about that. What does that mean in terms of demand? Are we going to see a shift in terms of who actually wants space?
Well, again, a very good question. No crystal ball, particularly since that legislation, as you know, is still being challenged. But we certainly have heard people talking about whether there's going to be a shift from some of the private insurers to more public sector and how that might change the demand for space. We know there's going to be a lot of growth in that healthcare market over the next 15 years. What we don't know is what type of space they're going to need and whether that demand is going to be for the type of Class A space that's prevalent in Manhattan.
Marissa, talk if you can about the difference between the availability of space, let's say, in the major metropolitan regions and in the suburbs, because there was a big effort to build out suburban office space. How has that fared?
Sure. Well, Tim, those areas are always more at risk.
Mm-hmm.
There are lower barriers to entry there. Buildings can go up more quickly with fewer restrictions, and we've seen that some of those markets, in fact, get overbuilt. So even in some of the markets around New York City, the Stanfords, which typically are strong suburban markets, we see much higher vacancy rates. Again, high teens, low 20s, Pim, and that certainly suggests that there's an overhang that has to be worked off before tenants find themselves under pressure again.
Is there any kind of guide that we can use for how long these cycles last?
No, I think the answer to that, Tim, is a question, and the question is, where are the jobs coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's jobs that drive commercial real estate.
And are you seeing any of that happen?
Well, I'll tell you what we're seeing. We're seeing companies taking less space per employee. We are seeing companies increasingly experiment with employees not coming to the office. Some of the statistics, Tim, show a very dramatic increase in the number of employees who are working from home or from some other remote location 1 or 2 days a month, 1 or 2 days a week. So those numbers are climbing. So I think we are really seeing very, very different contours in the overall demand for office space.
Are you also seeing a shift in where companies put their employees, moving them away from major metropolitan regions to areas of the country where real estate is even less expensive?
Oh, absolutely. And again, that's part of what made the Southeast so attractive to some people. I think they just got ahead of the curve there. But we certainly see a number of folks that we're working with are growing outside the metropolitan area.
What about the
lower labor costs are lower.
Mm-hmm. What about marquee-type deals, deals where you get naming rights, deals where you get to ask landlords for things other than just a lower rent per square foot?
Again, we are seeing that tenants who are strategic can be very, very strategic in this area. And it's not just a matter, Pim, in some cases, of dealing with the building owners. In some cases, tenants are actually going to municipalities and saying, I know these are the regs, but I'm going to be bringing a certain number of jobs here. My employees have a certain revenue base. I would like XYZ, and it might be additional signage. It might be a variance in parking. It might be some additional capital funding. It may be a waiver of an impact fee.
So would you say that no matter what you think is an obstacle, rethink the situation because chances are you're in a good negotiating position, particularly if you're either bringing jobs or money to a deal?
Absolutely, and I think, Ken, the key to maximizing value there is for tenants to look at a number of different options. So that means you have to have a strategic plan, you have to have a process, you have to allow enough time to go through that so you can really test your options. And when you do that, you find that there really are some unusual opportunities to create strategic value for your business.
All right, I want to thank you very much, Marissa Manley, the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation, giving us some insight into what's happening with commercial real estate. This portion of Bloomberg Taking Stock is